ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సో యు రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 4 టెక్స్ట్ 23 and 24. చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో ద టెక్స్ట్ 23 ఇస్ యాజ్ ఫాలోస్. గతాసంగస్య ముక్తస్య జ్ఞానావస్థితచేతసా యజ్ఞయాచరత కర్మ సమగ్రం ప్రవిలీయతే. గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature, who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, merges entirely into transcendence. Purport: Becoming fully Krishna conscious, one is freed from the dualities and thus is free from the contamination of material modes. He can become liberated because he knows his constitutional position in relationship with Krishna. And thus, his mind cannot be drawn from Krishna consciousness. Consequently, whatever he does for Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, who is the primeval Vishnu. Therefore, all his works are technically sacrifices because sacrifice aims at satisfying the Supreme Person Vishnu, Krishna. The resultant reactions to all such work certainly merge into transcendence, and one does not suffer material effects. It's all the text 24. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanahutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahma karma samadinah. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to the spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Purport: How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness and all of them will be described in the following verses. But for the present, just the principle of Krishna consciousness is described. A conditioned soul entangled in material contamination is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yet he has to get out of such an environment. The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient who is suffering from the disorder of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely curds. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as yajna or activities, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma, Brahman, means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual and the rays of his transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, his spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahma Jyoti. But when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, maya or sense gratification, it is called material. This material wheel can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor, and the result are all combined together, Brahman or the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna or sacrifice for the absolute. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one in the absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That was the method of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Foremost, I like to thank Gokulanand Prabhu for giving me an opportunity for purification by hearing and speaking about the Supreme Lord. Okay, this will not be just a class. It will be an interactive class. So the first question from the speaker to the audience. What is the qualification required to understand the Bhagavad Gita? Anyone? Qualification required to understand the Bhagavad Gita. One should be a devotee and a friend. Anyone?
Beg your pardon?
Being humble. A devotee and a friend. We should be humble. Faith in Krishna. Anyone?
Have a lot of money.
Have a lot of money. Okay. Not envious. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Transcendental. Okay. Everything is fine. Prabhupada writes, the first qualification to understand the Bhagavad Gita. It is written in the introduction before he starts the Bhagavad Gita. The first qualification to understand the Bhagavad Gita. Not knowing English, no requirement of Sanskrit, even if you are educated, no problem. Only qualification to understand Bhagavad Gita is to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes that if you don't consider Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at least theoretically, without any, at least theoretically, understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you don't consider Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happens? Even if I know the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita by heart, at the tip of my tongue, I know Sanskrit language, but still I would not be able to understand the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it is a great mystery. It is a great mystery. So what is the qualification to understand Bhagavad Gita? To understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. If we don't understand, or even theoretically, if we don't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, then what happens? This Bhagavad Gita, for us, for anyone who doesn't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, it becomes a noble book. Mills and Boons, Chanda Mama, Tinkle, Mandrake the Magician, what more? Harry Potter. Another novel. But if you want to know Bhagavad Gita, understand Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at least theoretically. And second, Krishna is above the modes of material nature. Now, what is this huge word, modes of material nature? It sounds quite confusing. Can anyone tell me what are the modes of material nature? Modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature. What are they? The energy that binds us to the material world. Anyone else? Come on. We are in India, right? We can speak openly. Three modes of material nature. Energy that binds one to this material world. Anyone else? Sattagun, Rajogun, Tamogun. Okay, I was just searching for this one particular plate in this pictures. If you have seen in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, if you go through those pictures, there is one picture where there are three ladies just standing on the top with ropes attached to their fingers, and down there are two men and they are caught everywhere. And these ladies are like puppeteers just playing with those men below. These ladies have three ropes. One is the rope of goodness, another is a rope of passion, and third is a rope of ignorance. And they have bound all the conditioned living entities in this material world. Now someone may question, we are bound by three ropes? I am free. Where are the three ropes? I am free. Now you are saying Bhagavad Gita, we are bound by the three ropes. Where are the three ropes? What is goodness, passion and ignorance? Those are the ropes. And where can we see this? Three modes of material nature. In one sense, you just leave this word, modes of material nature. I'll just say, tell you a short word which you will be able to understand. Behavior. Behavior. Behavior with respect to one's thinking, one's speech, one's hearing, one's activities, one's dress, one's eating. Everything is controlled by the three modes of material nature. What are those? Sattva, Raja, Tama in English. Goodness, passion and ignorance. Okay, let me give a case study. You just decide. Who is in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance? Okay, case number one. There are three people, A, B, C. You approach case A. You start speaking to him. He is very polite. He speaks to you very nicely. He is gentlemanly. And you feel very thrilled while speaking to him. Case B. You go to him, you start speaking. He begins with a taunt. He becomes angry. And his mood changes. He's a mood swinger. And case three. When you go start a conversation, he begins with an abuse. Now, it's up to you to decide who is in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Case A. Okay. Then? B is? Passion, okay. C is ignorance. Okay, good. Then, okay, this is about speech. Now think about eating. Case A. He's a carnivore. In one sense, he's a non-vegetarian. He doesn't have any pulses, any rice, only non-vegetarian. Morning, evening, afternoon, non-vegetarian. Case B. He has vegetarian, but filled with heavy masala type. And case C. Dal, rice, sabji. Now tell me, who is in the mode of passion and ignorance? Louder. Okay. A is in ignorance. Why? Non-veg, okay. Then, B is in passion and C is goodness. Okay. So now we can make out what is goodness, passion and ignorance. Okay, in our thought process. For example, A, B, C, they have one common friend. He became a multi-billionaire. Okay? A thinks, he was just below me. I don't know how he got above me. must be done something wrong. Must be some black marketing. I hate him. Case B. Same friend. He says, how could he come in front of me? I think the only way out to get rid of him is kill him. And case C. He says, after a long time, such prosperity has dawned upon him. May God bless him. Now, synchronize. Who is in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance? C is goodness. Passion. A is ignorance. So now you can make out what is goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now decide. Of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which is the best? Come on. Why? Why? Goodness, passion, ignorance? Why? Goodness is the best. Why? Think. Why? No. Goodness. Why is it better than rest of the two? Prabhupada writes, goodness is a step to get into Krishna consciousness. Okay, all are from India. So you know the Indian syllabus of school and colleges. What is the eligibility for a student to get into college? What is the eligibility of a student to get into college? Think and just speak. Pass? Pass your 10th standard. So they had going to college. Similarly, what is the qualification to get into Krishna consciousness? Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. What is the qualification to get into Krishna consciousness? Okay, anyone else? I just spoke about goodness, passion, and ignorance. And I asked you one question. Of the three, which is the best? And what was your answer? Goodness. Why is goodness the best? You can step into Krishna consciousness. So, another question. Is goodness enough in itself? Is goodness enough in itself? Why? I'll give you an example. There may be people whom you have encountered in your life where they must be saying, I don't cheat, I don't abuse, I never think bad about anyone, but I am not a devotee of Krishna, nor do I chant. My mind is clear, everything is clear, so why should I do bhakti? Is it okay? Is it okay? They say, there's a common saying, man changa to katori mein ganga. So why do all these bhajan and kirtan when you lead a nice simple life, eat nice sattvic food, no non-veg, you lead a good life, you don't harm anyone, you speak very good, you don't think wrong about anyone. What is the necessity of coming to the temple and worshipping Krishna? Is it not a superstition? Is it not? So just remaining the mode of goodness, is it not enough? Come on. Why not enough? Why not enough? I'm a good man. Why should I waste my time 2 hours just sitting and chanting or coming in front of the deities or doing Hare Krishna, Hare Ram? Or knowing the philosophy, when my heart is clean, I don't harm anyone. Come on, why should I take to Krishna consciousness? It's a waste of time, is it not? Yeah. As I said, coming back to that point previously, those three ladies on the top, how many strings are they holding? Three. What are those, name those strings? Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Never expect that a person who says he is in the mode of goodness, his thoughts are in the mode of goodness, his speech are in the mode of goodness, his activities are in the mode of goodness, is going to remain in the mode of goodness forever. Why? Because there are those people who hold this drama, puppet show, on the top with those three strings. They are going to pull the string of passion and ignorance as well. Right? Now, what does this lead to? Goodness, passion, ignorance, goodness, passion, ignorance, goodness, passion, ignorance. What happens? For example, give me an example of that first case study of a person, C, case C, where the minute he sees anyone, he begins with an abuse. Now, he begins with an abuse. That's an action. Okay? For that action, there should be a reaction. Because that is the nature of this material world. Someone else abuses him. What does he do? He re-abuses him. And again someone abuses him. He re-abuses. Abuse, 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 abuse. This forms a cycle. What is it called? What is it called? Abuse, you abuse him. Again someone abuses you. Action, reaction, action. What is it called in Sanskrit? It starts from K. Karma. I hope everyone is with the lecture. Everyone can understand. If no one understands, you just raise your hands. I'll go back. There's no problem. I have all the time in the world to go back before 8:30. Okay. So you got it? Being in the mode of ignorance, abuse, there is one more re-abuse, abuse, re-abuse, re-abuse. And there is a cycle called karma. For example, the mode of goodness. He may say, I am manchanga, katori me ganga, ye sab ka kya karne ki baat. You mean to say he'll remain always in the mode of goodness? No. Because he can't. He can't. Because those two strings of passion and ignorance are going to pull him. And he is going to do something where there is going to be a reaction. An action, a reaction. Action, a reaction. What forms? Karmic cycle. Now what is the result of karmic cycle? Anyone? Even though it is not proper, you just speak out. No problem. Don't worry. You have all the freedom in the world. Speak out. Okay, anyone else? Birth, rebirth. Anyone else? Karmic cycle. What happens? Louder. I have a hard of hearing. We are in the bodily actions. Anyone? Bondage. What happens in short is, you do karma, reaction, action, reaction, action, reaction. At the time of leaving the body, you are only involved in action, reaction, reaction, action, action. And you remember only those things. What happens at the time of death? Dragged down. Where? Next body. Of the 84 lakh species of life. So someone may question, so I'm in the mode of goodness. Or, so I should come to Krishna and chant Hare Krishna? What will Krishna do to me? What will Krishna do to me? He will free me from the cycle of birth and death. Anyone else? Come on. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Anyone else? He'll get some strength or power. Okay. You're saying to surrender to Krishna? Okay, let me get into Krishna's Leela. Now you judge. This is a case study for you all too. Mahabharat. I think everyone knows Mahabharat here. So no reintroduction to Mahabharat. It's Mahabharat. Let's go directly into the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna there in front is facing the Kauravas. The battle has already begun. After the Bhagavad Gita, the battle has already begun. And the summit of all the wars, the summit of the entire fight, the most awaited fight of the millennium was just about to unfold between two great warriors. Triloka Vijay, Gandiv Dari, Vijaya Sakhi, Arjuna in one side. On the other side is another powerful warrior, Angraj Karna. Powerful warrior. They stand in front of each other and the fight begins. The fight reaches a climax where any time one of them is going to be killed. Sure shot. Because they are fighting with such vigor. Suddenly, in that fight, Angraj had a charioteer. His name was Shalya. He leaves the chariot there and he leaves. I don't want to take the chariot of Angraj. He leaves for some reason. Then Angraj is alone. He has to manage the horses. He has to shoot arrows against Arjun. But suddenly, his own misfortune. The wheel slips inside the mud, inside the muck. Now, the entire chariot is stuck at one place. Karna, he just leaves his bow and arrow. He jumps down and he says, Arjuna, wait. Arjuna, just wait. Let me just remove this wheel out of this muck. We'll begin the fight again. Hear carefully. So Arjuna also keeps his Gandiva down and watches as long as Karna just removes it out of the muck. That time Krishna, he looks back. Hey, why are you waiting for? Shoot. Arjuna says, come on, my lord. This is against the principles of the battle. I can't shoot an unarmed warrior. Let him get ready. This is immoral. Krishna says, now tell me about the opposite person. List the moralities he has followed in his life. Is he moral? If he is not moral, why you want to become moral? My order, shoot. He removes his Gandiva. Then he asks only one question from the Lord. The Madhva commentators from Madhva Sampradaya, they say, this is what Arjuna asked from Krishna. My Lord, before I shoot this arrow at my enemy, will you please tell me one thing? He is Karna, Angraj Karna, who was my bitter enemy all throughout my life. But when I see his gravity, when I see his religious principles, it reminds me of my elder brother Yudhishthir. When I see his anger on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it reminds me of Bhima. And in archery, we are both equals. In beauty, he is equal to Nakul. And in swordsmanship and horse riding, he is equal to Sahadev. My Lord, will you please tell me, who is he? What did the Lord say? Arjuna, he is your elder brother. What did he say? Arjuna, you want to know his introduction? Should I introduce him? He is that fool and cheat who has cheated and killed your unarmed dear most son Abhimanyu in the battlefield. Shoot him just now. Shoot. Gone. Now tell me, categorize. Was Krishna's action in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance? How was the story? It was good, right? Okay. But now categorize. Was it in goodness, passion or ignorance? Transcendental. Anyone else? Goodness. Anyone else? Come on. I think you all could understand the story. Or there was some problem in the... Should I repeat it again? You could understand? Okay, just tell me Krishna's action. Where is the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance? Come on. Passion. Okay, anyone else? Beyond the material modes. Anyone else? Okay. I'll say. Just go back in this class. What did we say? Even if you're in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, or even if in the mode of good, if to get out of this karmic cycle, what is the only solution? Krishna consciousness. If you have to be Krishna consciousness, you're taking the shelter of that person, Krishna, then that Krishna should be above the modes of material nature. You got it? So before I began this class, I said one word. Who can understand the Bhagavad Gita? Who accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can understand the Bhagavad Gita. If you categorize from material viewpoint, it may be in mode of ignorance also. Hare, what here? He is unarmed and he is telling to shoot. What is this? No. But when Krishna says, shoot, that is dharma. That's why Prabhupada says, what Krishna says, that is dharma. That is above the three modes of material nature. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, consider this as Krishna's quality. He is above the material nature. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, coming to the second case study. See, Mahabharata. Okay, I want more answers. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought for how many days? 18. Okay. 18 days. And the Madhva commentators say that there was a rule put by, who were the majority of the two? Pandavas and Kauravas. Who were the majority? Anyone? Kauravas. So majority wins, right? Majority, what they say, this is the rule. No matter who comes in between, that's the rule. So Kauravas laid down the rule. So this is the battlefield of Kurukshetra. We are going to fight and these are the rules to be followed. If you break any of them, you have lost the battle. So what were the rules? The first rule, the Kauravas put before the Pandavas. The first rule, the battle will last only for 18 days. If it prolongs for the 19th day, Kauravas have won the war. Second, Kauravas are how many? 100. And the Pandavas are? 5. The rule was, the second rule, we 100, if you want to win the war, all the 100 of us should die. Even if one remains within those period of, on the 19th day, who has won the war? Kauravas have won the war. And Pandavas, what are your, what is your population? 5. Of the 5, even if one is killed, Kauravas have won the war. So how is the policy? Okay, the policy is only one. The Kauravas, anyhow, they're going to win this war. So the war began. 18 days. 18 days. And Krishna made sure that within those 18 days, all the 100 are destroyed. But in that process, how many people were killed? Can anyone estimate? How many people were killed? Lakhs? Okay, anyone else? Come on. Who says one? Raise your hands. 10? Raise your hands. 1 crore? Okay. Huh? Anyone else? Mahabharata writes, in those 18 days of that war, 64 crores were slaughtered. Now someone may question, is this action of Krishna in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance? Transcendental, really? Krishna is transcendental. Anyone else? Even Hitler has not killed so many people. 64 crores. What is this? And we have to worship that Krishna? Imagine 64 crores being slaughtered. Now, the Bhagavad Acharyas say, 64 crores were not slaughtered. They were liberated. You know how? In that battlefield of Kurukshetra, who was driving the chariot of Arjuna? Krishna. He was a chariot driver. Who was sitting behind? Arjuna. This particular combination is named in the Bhagavatam. What is it called? Another name of Arjuna is Partha. What is the name to this pastime? Partha Sarathi. There is a temple in Delhi named Radha Partha Sarathi. Prabhupada named it. So this Partha Sarathi, this is the combination, Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna in the front, Arjuna behind. But this mood of Partha Sarathi was not that much appreciated by whom? It was not that much appreciated by Arjuna. Why? Why? This mood, Arjuna is referred, oh, Krishna with him, Partha Sarathi. But Arjuna couldn't appreciate this mood of Krishna as Partha Sarathi because Krishna was driving the chariot in the front and Arjuna was shooting arrows. But he could not just peep up and look at the beauty of the Lord. Who was appreciating this mood of Partha Sarathi? The Kauravas. Because before the darshan of Arjuna, they could get the darshan of Krishna. And it is said in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is so beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Kandarpa koti. Who is Kandarpa? Cupid. Kandarpa. His one arrow can mesmerize anyone in the whirlpool of love and lust. If you combine such Kandarpas 1 crore times, Kandarpa 1, Kandarpa 2, Kandarpa 3, Kandarpa 4, 1 crore times, 1 crore Kandarpas get together and mold him to one personality, still his beauty is nothing. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. And when that Lord was standing in and just listening to Arjuna's orders, my Lord, left, zoom, left. My Lord, right, right. That time the Kauravas, when they would see the beauty of Krishna, that beautiful form, Megavarna, beautiful lotus petal eyes, sharp nose, broad forehead, broad chest, a person not more than 16 to 17 years old, that boy, whose beauty was so captivating, all the Kauravas would leave down their weapons and just keep on watching the beauty. And that time, Arjuna would take his arrows and shoot. Shoot. Seeing the beauty of the Lord, getting immersed in the thought of that beauty would purify those souls. And that arrow would destroy their body. And what was their destination? Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. In this way, Bhagavat explains that all the 64 crore people whom we say in material words, killed, were not killed. They were liberated. That is the beauty of Krishna. That is the greatness of Krishna. If you take the shelter of Krishna, that is what we get. That we say surrender. That's why it reminds me of one pastime of Srila Prabhupada. It was in Mayapur, 1972, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In Mayapur, there's an annual GBC meeting. Every year, the GBCs get together. Who are the GBCs? Anyone knows? GBCs, Governing Body Commissioners. They look after the management of the entire ISKCON all over the globe. So they get together in Mayapur for the GBC meeting. So Prabhupada got inside the room of the GBC meeting. All the devotees got up. They were all managers, big managers. They were handling many temples. Prabhupada asked only one question. He didn't ask, how is the management going on? Which temple is faring well and which is not doing well? How is the book distribution score? How are devotees chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? Do they have faith in the movement? He asked only one question. Today, in your gathering, I am asking only one question Prabhupada asked. Do you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He was not asking the neophytes. He was asking the managers of ISKCON. Do you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Do you have? So somewhere 4 years old in this movement, somewhere 6 years old, and they were wondering, I should look inside whether I really have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada says, I have that faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you imbibe the same faith which I have within my heart, we require only 18 days to make the entire world Krishna conscious. Do you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's not easy. This comes only by two processes. One is association with the devotees. Sadhu Sangha. Reading the scriptures, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Only then this faith can be established. Otherwise, outside world, they say, oh, what? Krishna? Oh, Krishna is an historical personality. Oh, Krishna is just a mythological figure. Don't they say that? Yeah. Oh, Krishna, he was just a king. If this is the understanding of the Indians, that Krishna is just a king, or Krishna is just a mythological figure, or someone said that Krishna became powerful. So everyone knows yoga, right? Everyone knows what is yoga and, you know, pranayam. He said, Krishna became powerful by doing Kapalbhati pranayam. Or Anulom Vilom pranayam. That is their understanding. Krishna is just an ordinary. So Prabhupada starts the Bhagavad Gita with only one point. What is that? If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, what is the only qualification? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If this is not there, then even though I may know Bhagavad Gita by heart, there are many. I think one devotee, he was in Manipal, and he would, okay, tell me which verse? His devotee's friend, he was, which verse? Okay, 2.13. Deinosmin yadade komaram yavanam jara tatade antara prabhikdiram. Anyone, any other verse? Okay, 18 verse. Sarvadharam parityaga mamekam. He knew the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart. But he was not worshipping Krishna. What is the use? That is the reason it is said in this verse today that if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, what is the only qualification? Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Okay, we'll just recap back. What are the modes of material nature? Goodness, passion. Of the three, what is the best? Why goodness is the best? It is a stepping stone to get into Krishna consciousness. Okay, only goodness, is it enough? Why? Why? We'll go down, degrade, do back to the lower species of life. So what is the only solution to get out of this mode of goodness, passion and ignorance? Taking surrender to Krishna. Why Krishna? He is beyond the three modes of material nature. But in his activities, there is some doubt. We should have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a mystery. It is a mystery. I'll tell you again, it is a mystery. There is one professor, he knows Bhagavad Gita, it seems. And he wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. What is the commentary? Name of the commentary? Bhagavad Gita and Psychiatry. He was a psychiatrist, doctor. Bhagavad Gita and Psychiatry. Because he considered Arjuna to be a psychiatric patient and Krishna to be a psychiatrist. So he is giving instruction how to, your brain should be okay. That is the understanding which people in India have of Bhagavad Gita. Sorry. That's why another verse, of course I can't go through the entire verse. That is Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhinaha. As it is said, all the instruments which you have in this material world should be used in Krishna's service. It is like, you know, okay, someone may question this particular room which we are sitting in. Hey, this looks like a 5-star ballroom. The chandeliers here. I went to put the AC on. What is this? Temple means simple, no? What is your take on this? Simple means simple, no? Why all this air condition and, you know, what is this? Italian marbles. It should be simple, no? Why? The answer is given by the Supreme Lord here. Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havir. Everything is utilized in the service of the Lord. Here, AC, air, everything is put on. Why? So that everyone can get their Dunlop mattresses and sleep here? No. So that we can hear about whom? Supreme Personality of God. We can chant about whom? Krishna. We can think about whom? Krishna. This mic. Mic, no? Yeah. This mic. I have every independence to do many things. I can give a big political lecture in this mic. My independence. Second, I can sing one pop song also in this mic because I am independent. Third, I can speak about Krishna. Now, of the three, which is most beneficial and why? Speak about why? Hare, why can't I sing some? I'll be purified. Over and above that, when I say something about Krishna, when I speak about something about Krishna, then the attachment for the lower modes, speaking something nonsense or singing something nonsense, it is perished. It is burnt away. Take for example anything in this material world, you do not have to give up anything. Use it in the service of Krishna. Just ending with an example. If you know woodcutters in the villages, I don't know whether they are there in Bombay, woodcutter. They take a big axe, you know. And on the top of that, what is there? On the top of that axe, by which they can cut the wood? Sword or a blade, right? And they cut that wood, cut that tree. Now, what is that handle made up of? Wood. Wood. But only on the top part is what? A blade or an axe. Similarly, this is material. But it should be sprinkled with something spiritual, that is Krishna consciousness. Then you can break the tree-like anarthas within our hearts. You got it? Same instrument, if it is used in the Krishna's, if it is used in Krishna's service, it can pave path for liberation. If it is used for our sense gratification, it gives paths to bondage, lower modes. You got it? Prabhupada gives an example. Suppose someone has a diarrhea or dysentery because of overconsumption of milk. What is the solution? Curd. What is curd? Curd is a milk product. But there's a culture added to it. Be it a lemon or another small curd so that it can become curd next morning. Similarly, whatever you have, there should be some culture added to it. What is that culture? What is that culture? What is that culture? Indian culture? What is that culture? Come on, speak. Krishna consciousness. When you have put Krishna consciousness, you can easily detach yourself. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. No, the person, actually, to tell you the matter of fact, the person who has introduced Krishna so sublimely to this material world is Srila Prabhupada. Just understand his life. He was dealing with everything. He was dealing with 108 temples. He was flying. He was going everywhere. He was going to all the continents. He was taking flight from one place to another. Anyone may think, why Swamiji, you are flying? You should be a sannyasi. You should stay in the forest. No, for Krishna's service. This is called Yukta Vairagya. And it happened in 1977 when he made the wheel of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. See, this is a personification of this verse. when he made the wheel for International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this is the following wheel made by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. First, none of the properties of ISKCON will go to my blood relatives. I am handing all the property to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, headed by the GBCs, all my disciples. And Prabhupada handed everything. And he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he said one word. For all that I have given you all, my disciples, I expect one thing from you. I expect one thing from you. I have given property worth crores to my disciples. But in return to what I have given, I expect one thing from you. What is it? And this personifies Srila Prabhupada. What is it? I have given you everything. Farm communities, going to restaurants, 108 temples, gurukuls. It runs into crores. For this, I am expecting one thing from my disciples. Prabhupada said, at the last moment of my life, when I am leaving my body, please help me remember Krishna. For a materialist, what a bargain. Crores of rupees for one remembrance of Krishna. Prabhupada knew the value of the holy name of Krishna. So he could leave aside all these things. He said, remember me. Please help me remember Krishna. Of course, no one needs to help Srila Prabhupada because he is the one who gave Krishna to the whole world. But this is the quality of a sadhu. This is the quality of Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhinaha. This is samadhi. Otherwise, it's not easy to give up. Hare, mera wo temple ka kya hoga? Mera wo restaurant ka kya hoga? Or what will happen to the Gurukul? Or what will happen to the farm community? Swamishya Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your kind hearing. Is there any questions which I can answer? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Thank you for your lecture. My question is, you said that in this Mahabharata, Kauravas were liberated. They were free from the cycle of birth and death. Kauravas were envious to Krishna because they saw, and in Bhagavad Gita it is written that in the death, when one sees Krishna, he is liberated.
Yeah.
He is free from cycle of birth and death. But one thing I fail to understand, that Kauravas, why did they first liberated and Pandavas remain in this material
world? Because Pandavas, what is
even if
what is the question of liberation when Krishna is there with him? When Krishna is there with the Pandavas, where is the question of liberation? Okay, sorry, I can just continue.
No, my question was those who become Krishna consciousness, they is first liberated and go to the abode where the Krishna.
Yes, yes.
But still then I am having a doubt that in my mind that Kauravas, how they went to the...
It is Krishna's mercy. It is Krishna's mercy. Kauravas got all the reactions just with the arrows of Arjuna and the clubs of Bhima. They are beaten pulp. They are beaten to pulp. And all the reactions were just minimized. And this is a special mercy of Krishna. If he wants, he can call anyone within no time. Now you can't question why. Why Krishna did this to them? Why not to us? No, it is Krishna's own plan. You can't question the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And second, why the Pandavas remained in this world when Kauravas could go? Pandavas, wherever there is Krishna, that is Goloka Vrindavan for the Pandavas. They don't have to specifically go to Goloka Vrindavan to be with Krishna. Wherever there is Krishna, that is Goloka Vrindavan for the Pandavas. And regarding us, yes, we are conditioned souls here. And we have to go through this process of sadhana bhakti. And only by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, by seeing our sincerity, seriousness, without any ulterior motives, will Krishna call us back to his abode. So we should be sincere. And Krishna is this causeless mercy. Why it is called causeless? Krishna's causeless mercy. Why is it called causeless? Why is it called causeless? Causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Causeless. Because there is no cause. You have come to Krishna consciousness. You specifically. You. You have come to this temple because there is no cause. That's why it is called causeless. I am chanting Hare Krishna mantra because there is no cause. Causeless mercy. It is like of this 1 crore people in Bombay, you, not you now, you, come to Krishna consciousness. Because there is no cause. That's why it is called causeless mercy of the Lord. You can't question the Lord. Why did you give him and why are you not giving me? No, because there is no cause. Okay, anyone else? Any questions?
One who has to understand this Gita, Bhagavad Gita, he has to accept, means Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead.
At least theoretically.
And if he does not accept, if someone understands that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, then he can understand the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, theoretically. But what do you mean by understanding Bhagavad Gita? What does it mean, understanding Bhagavad Gita? It is like a father giving instruction to the son and son understood the instruction. Means what? He follows those instructions. So in one sense, understanding Bhagavad Gita means following the instructions of Krishna. That means understanding. I know Sanskrit, I understand Bhagavad Gita. That is theoretical understanding. Following what he says, that is the greatness. Anyone else? Any questions? Any comments? Any tippani? Who is it? Okay.
Prabhuji, you said about Yukta Vairagya.
Hmm.
I mean, can you just describe?
Yukta Vairagya is is given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. Yukta Vairagya is, Vairagya means renunciation, means you renounce everything. But in Kali Yuga, it is not possible to renounce because we are so attached. We are so much in the modes of ignorance and passion. It is not possible to renounce artificially. What is Yukta Vairagya? Yukta Vairagya, you understand that whatever you see in front of you, in front of your vision, it all belongs to whom? To the Supreme Lord Krishna. So I better use in the service of the Supreme Lord. Then when I use it in the service of the Supreme Lord, what happens? I get detached from this particular object. Forget the object. Let us take our own body. We are so much attached to our own body. How to be detached from this body? How should be detached? Artificially, it is not possible to detach. We have the senses. The body is made of senses, right? Okay, take for example the eyes. One sense. Who has given these eyes? Have we imported from Japan? No. God has given us. So how can we best utilize these eyes in the service of the Lord? See the beautiful forms of the Lord. Read the scriptures given by the great acharyas. This is the best utility of the eyes. Ears. What should you do? Best use of the ears. Hear to what? FM?
No.
Harikatha. You liberate yourself. Nose. What do you do? smell the fragrance of the flowers which are offered to the Supreme Lord. Tongue. Sadhana, chanting, speaking of the Supreme Lord, and even having prasadam, of course, but only prasadam. Then you can detach yourself. Then these hands, you can use it in the service of the Lord, dressing the deities. Then these legs, go for a yatra. This head, offer obeisance in front of the Lord. So even though you are in this body, you are not attached to the body because you know this is not your body. It is a gift given by the Supreme Lord. That is called Yukta Vairagya. Yes, ma'am.
Hare Krishna. We accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. We associate, we chant. But is it necessary for us to understand the shlokas to get liberated?
Understand the shloka, you mean Sanskrit?
Yeah.
No need. No need. You understand the essence. Essence of Bhagavad Gita is... What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Come on, why are you murmuring? We are in India and democracies are right. You can speak out. What is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Surrender unto Krishna. That is the essence. When you know or when you realize, when you practice what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in your day-to-day life, even though it is very difficult to understand shlokas or to read Sanskrit, no problem. No problem. Prabhupada says, you don't know any Sanskrit, no problem. Know only one thing in Sanskrit. Those 16 letter words in Sanskrit. What are those? Hare. Krishna, Hare, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare, Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Liberated. Someone asked him, you have written books. So if people are not literate, you are illiterate, how will they be able to understand? Prabhupada said, no problem. Let them associate with the people who are literate. They will understand the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. And above that, they should practice what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. That is... What is that? What is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita? Essence. Surrender to the Supreme Lord. And what is surrender? Practice of Krishna consciousness is surrender. So you don't have to worry or feel inferiority complex. I don't know Sanskrit. Thank you. Anything else? Anything else? Just speak out. Sarva dharmam parityagya mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshesyami masucha. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. That is Krishna's words. Don't worry. Don't fear. I am there, here. Surrender to me. I thank everyone for their kind patience and hearing. If there's any mistakes committed because of my shortcomings, you please forgive me. And please bless me so that I become a devotee. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Sachinandan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Parampara ki jai. So you will just come for the practical application of Krishna consciousness. And devotees will lead us to another transcendental abode.